Every day, many of us are asked to prove our identities to machines. ATMs at banks require a card and the matching personal identification number before giving out cash. Computers demand passwords before granting access. In many workplaces, doors open only to those who carry the proper electronically encoded cards. These cards and PIN numbers and passwords are lost, forgotten, stolen, or forged at an alarming rate, and that's why both governments and private companies are turning to identification marks that people simply cannot lose, marks that are part of their bodies. NPR's Dan Charles reports.
If you live in New Jersey and you're at the end of your rope, no money, no job, and nowhere to live, you can get help from the state's General Assistance Program run through your local welfare office. But officials in New Jersey in charge of this program worry about people double-dipping, signing up for aid in two different places using different names with forged or stolen documents. So now, in the welfare office in Newark, and soon in offices all across the state, every person who applies for aid has to provide not just a name and social security number, but their fingerprint as well. Catherine Lardiere, director of the Newark office, leads the way to the intake unit.
Every client that comes in for an application is finger imaged at this point.
A frail, middle-aged man with crutches sits down next to a table that holds a computer. Attached to the computer is the fingerprint scanner, a small box with a smooth plastic groove in it, just wide enough to hold the man's finger. The man's caseworker, Elizabeth Bristol, gives instructions.
Your left index finger. The index finger. You got to press on it, put it in the middle. Over a little more.
The man struggles to press his finger down hard enough and keep it in proper position. As he presses his finger down, a shadowy black and white image of his fingerprint appears on the computer screen next to him.
Okay, you can lift your finger up.
That image has now been captured in the computer. The man repeats the process with his right index finger. Finally, Elizabeth Bristol takes the man's picture. That is also stored in the computer. Then we wait while a powerful computer searches through a database of 15,000 other fingerprints from other welfare recipients in and around Newark. If this man's fingerprints are already on file, he's already receiving benefits under another identity in some other town, and he won't be getting any more in Newark. A minute or so later, the computer sends back the message, "No, this man is not a double dipper." Michael Green, New Jersey's chief welfare fraud investigator, has a sheet of paper tacked up on the wall behind his desk. It shows, side by side, two sets of fingerprints and two photos of the same young woman. She was the first person the fingerprint scanning system caught, Green says.
The pictures aren't too good. You can see she changed her hairstyle and her dress here, but it's the same person. So you can say, "Excuse me, lady, but does that look familiar?" And they say, "Oh, gee, I've got a bus to catch," and zoom out the door.
In reality, this rarely happens. Green doesn't have the exact number of double dippers the system has caught, but he admits it's very small. Green thinks people who used to receive benefits in several towns just dropped quietly off the welfare rolls rather than submit to finger scanning, but he admits he doesn't have any hard evidence to prove this. Green thinks the program will show dramatic results when it's expanded beyond Newark. He thinks thousands of people are collecting benefits on both sides of the Hudson River, in New York City and in Newark. That'll end soon, Green says. New York is now starting to take fingerprints from its welfare recipients. Pennsylvania, next door, is also considering finger scanning, and Los Angeles County in California has been doing it for several years now. Eventually, there may be a database that contains the fingerprints of all welfare recipients nationwide. According to Green, that's just the beginning.
It has applications that go so far beyond welfare that they're mind-boggling. They can now, for instance, take your fingerprint and electronically encoded on the mag stripe on the back of your credit card. So very shortly you're going to see point-of-sale machines where when you give your credit card to the clerk, they're going to ask you to put your finger on that little red square like you did, and it will compare your fingerprint to the one that's encoded on the card.
That should mean people who steal credit cards won't be able to use them. It may also change how you retrieve money from a bank or log onto a computer. Instead of entering passwords or PIN numbers, you may enter your name, then press your finger down on a fingerprint scanner to prove that you are indeed who you say you are. Michael Green says it's inevitable.
We have to have 20th century methods with dealing with 20th century problems, and we can't go back to, well, I'm who I am just because I say I am, or I show you a little card that says this is my Social Security number that I've bought on the corner from an illegal alien for 10 bucks.
20th century methods, Green says, are these so-called biometric identity techniques. They measure and record unique characteristics of people's bodies. The oldest biometric technique is simply the remarkable human ability to recognize faces or voices. In this increasingly automated and impersonal world, current biometric methods are tuned to the requirements of machines. Fingerprints aren't the only approach. Other companies are selling equipment that scans the unique pattern of colors in the iris of a person's eye, or the pattern of blood vessels in a person's face revealed by heat emitted from the skin. And at Newark International Airport, some international travelers, instead of waiting in line for an immigration officer to stamp their passports, now rush straight to an automated booth. They slide in a special card issued by the Immigration Service, then they slide their hand into the machine, and the machine measures its exact size and shape. Eileen Freeman from the Immigration and Naturalization Service explains.
All you have to do is slip the card in here, then you follow the instructions on the screen. You place your hand in here to get a match. Now on the existing card, you have your geometrics of your hand already on the card. If the screen recognizes you as a match, then it will kick out a receipt for you right here. And that's the receipt that you take down to customs.
This program is aimed at frequent business travelers. One of them, just off a plane from London, asks Freeman for help. It's his first time using the system.
Push it in until you see remove, and we'll remove. Not able to read your card, so we'll try it again.
This time, the system is able to read the card, but then it comes up with the message, unable to process.
The system's down. The card's reading fine.
I heard this happens.
it's potluck sometimes, you know, mm-hmm. if the system's working or not. But in this case, we're just going to scoot over to 26. Did you complete the customs form?
Clearly, there still are a few bugs in the system. Between 10 and 20% of the time, it rejects a person's hand when it shouldn't. Apparently, people don't always place their hands into the machine exactly the same way each time. But the Immigration Service wants to encourage people to keep trying this high-tech approach to an identification. If the machine rejects them, card users get to jump to the front of the line at any other immigration window. Other biometric techniques are designed to identify people who want to do business over the phone. Check their bank balance, for instance.
Please enter your 4-digit personal identification number, followed by a pound sign.
Dial-up services have proliferated in recent years, and so have the number of personal identification numbers people are supposed to remember. Inevitably, people write these numbers down in obvious places where other people can steal them. The solution is an automated system that recognizes the tone and cadence of your voice, says Dave Shook from the company Veritel in Chicago, which makes such a system. He dials a number at a big company, a special line that allows him to make long-distance calls that are charged to the company.
So I have to enter my user ID via the touch tone.
Please say your password.
5678 Dave Shook.
Please hold.
Okay, it compared my live voice against my stored voice template. It's now dialing out, and I have an outbound dial tone, which I can now dial anywhere in the world on.
All these biometric techniques are still somewhat experimental. They aren't widely used by the general public. This is partly because the systems sometimes work slowly or aren't completely reliable. In a system that relies on fingerprints, for instance, people don't want to be stopped from withdrawing cash from an ATM machine because they just got a bad cut on their finger. But some people say there's also emotional resistance from consumers who simply don't want the government or private companies scanning their body parts.
My guess is people will not buy this technology. They won't allow it into their lives.
Simon Davies is Director General of Privacy International, an organization based in London.
There's a couple of reasons why people would oppose and are opposing biometric systems. The first is the sort of opposition that I see constantly, which is people saying, look, I don't know how to express this. I just don't like it. These are not loonies who are ringing me. These are not mad people. These are ordinary folk who have been requested by their company or by a government agency to submit an electronic fingerprint. And they are saying, what can I do about this? I don't like it.
The province of Ontario in Canada has considered issuing identity cards with fingerprint data magnetically encoded on them. The idea was to prevent citizens of the United States from using free Canadian medical services. But Davies says political opposition halted the program before it ever got underway.
Because the idea of placing the entire population's fingerprint into a registry carried with it enormous messages And the message was, you will submit to the authority of government.
It's no accident that biometric systems are being tried out most aggressively with welfare recipients, Davies says. They aren't in a position to resist. Part of personal freedom, Davies says, is creating your own identity. In times of war or political repression, people sometimes have survived by creating new identities and new lives for themselves. When the government has your fingerprint on file, you can't change your identity. You can't escape and you can't start over. Others, supporters of biometric techniques, point out that most of the people who want to create a new identity for themselves these days are criminals, and a foolproof identity system could bring them to justice. The police, for instance, would love to take a look at the fingerprints now being collected from all welfare recipients in Newark, New Jersey. Michael Green, who's in charge of detecting welfare fraud in New Jersey, says under current policies, that's forbidden, even though it's likely thousands of people wanted by the police are collecting welfare.
When you want to get food and shelter, you run to welfare, and we take care of you, and we're not allowed to tell anybody that you're, you know, who you are or where you are, especially the police, even though they're pounding on the door saying, we know you're in there somewhere, we, you know, let him out. We say, no, we can't tell you.
A simple comparison of fingerprints in the files of the police and the welfare system could find the fugitives, Green says. It would be a demonstration of the power of biometric identification. This could happen. In Pennsylvania, which is considering adopting finger scanning for welfare recipients, welfare officials are already required by law to make sure new clients aren't wanted by the police. Finger scanning could make that job easier. For privacy advocates like Simon Davies, that would be confirmation of their suspicions about this technology. They say once you provide your fingerprint to someone, an employer, a bank, or a welfare agency, you no longer can control who eventually will end up with a copy of that fingerprint, and you don't know what they'll use it for. This is Dan Charles reporting.